assets, and you have that paragraph that's from notes. Hand is park deficient. We have one tiny little parklet named Piccolo Park. We're a little disappointed that we have not been. This is our neighborhood, and yet we, the residential part of the neighborhood, are not at the table. And should this amendment go forward, we are adamant that there should be a representative from the residential part of the neighborhood at the table.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I highlighted the Crescent Park part of your letter and also the evidence. I got it. Thank you.
Thanks very much. Mr. Stoll.
Good afternoon. My name is Barry Joe Stoll. I feel kind of like I gave it the office. I was at the Affordable Housing Memorial. My friend was actually camping down in the area, and he says, it's down by the end of the streetcar line. And I went down there, and we were memorializing the fact that the affordable housing wasn't built. That was years ago. I know that we're putting on a lot of airs here in the city of Portland, and the best way I can describe what's going on is to tell a little bit of an aside, but it'll give you some sense here. I'm a hemp historian, so I do some classes, and one of the other guys was doing a class on hashish, and he told about his exploits, and they were importing hashish into the United States and other countries, using dogs to get the dogs through customs, and they had these cages that had the hashish in, and they had this one dog that was apparently nuts, and they said, we're going to drug this dog, and we're going to send it on through, but as soon as you get it, you're going to have to kill this dog, because this dog is absolutely crazy. Well, the dog had an unexpected layover and came to and ate its way out of the cage, was shot dead by the airport staff, and they found out the cage was made out of hashish, and the whole scheme kind of all fell apart. Well, the whole scheme here is, I was living in affordable housing as a person with a disability, and I had a job, and my nonprofit affordable housing landlord filed a 30-day no-cause and destroyed $20,000 worth of my property. That left me broke, sick, and homeless. And now taxpayers are paying for me to be in HUD-subsidized housing. I'm the metric equivalent of that dog that you all are using to do your metric equivalent of importing hashish. You're taking the federal money. This is all about taking federal money, building transit infrastructure, and taking federal money. So me as a homeless person was worth more than me as a person with a disability, with a job, in affordable housing. And I got the joke when I saw that Maxine Fitzpatrick was signed up to testify today, because when I saw that, I remembered that one of the affidavits in that case file, as I was fighting that bogus eviction and the destruction of my property, one of the affidavits had her characterized as Maxine Fitzgerald. Didn't even get the name right, and it didn't even matter in this bogus system. So if you want to know why people have some questions about the way you're doing things, is we don't have questions about the way you're doing things. We know the way you're doing things. You had all the tools. We heard it here today. All the tools you had to prevent this mess 20 years ago, you didn't use. You know why? Because you're giving money to the rich, and you're taking it from everybody else, and there's plenty of poor people like me that you can pretend you're helping.
Okay, next three.
The last two I show signed up are Jeannie Gaelic and Hiram Asmuth.
Okay, is Jeannie still here? Yes, she is. Good. Come on up. Thank you for waiting.
Well, nearly last, but hopefully not least. My name is Jeannie Gaelic. Like many here in the 1990s, I worked on the North McAdam Plan, but I was an advocate for future parks and the Willamette Greenway. If the new Dance South Waterfront is to be successful, it must have more than buildings and roads. Parks and the Greenway are critical infrastructure and civic assets. They are an essential urban service. They provide space for recreation, habitat for urban wildlife, and a safe transportation corridor for bikes and pedestrians. They help to sustain both our physical and mental well-being. They are an incredible attraction for both businesses and developers. And in the discussions on the West Quad, of which I was on the SAC, member. It was a top priority for this district to have the Greenway completed. Parks and the Greenway have been promised, but underfunded in the past, and today their full funding continues to be vague and on the back end. We need both affordable housing and the parks and Greenway to become a priority. We need them to be funded adequately, and we need them soon. We've been waiting years and years and years for that Greenway and for more parks in South Waterfront. So I urge you to please make it a priority. Give it funding. And I just wanted to say, please don't make the Greenway a temporary solution. We find that temporary solutions become permanent. People just kind of forget about it because they're kind of taken care of. So let's do it right and get that Greenway done.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, just to reassure you, we don't even have the money for a temporary solution. So,
but we need to. We need to find it.
Welcome.
My name is Hiram Asmuth, a Southwest Portland resident. I think that there's different motivations that folks have for talking to you guys. With all due respect, you know, a property developer is motivated on profit. You know, these housing advocates, they're motivated for protecting Portland's houseless and underhoused citizens and the integrity of our city. You know, I went to a thing called the Portland Renters Assembly last night. There was about 20 of us, and what we were talking about was specifically how the rents are increasing, you know, while our incomes aren't matching those increases. And so I think it's very crucial when you're talking about something that's going to have impact 5, 10, 20 years, 30 years down the line, specificity, and I wish Nick was here to hear this, is crucial. We have to have this. We have to have these developers. We got to hold their feet to the fire. You know, we have to find ways to be very specific about where this money goes and how much of it gets dedicated, you know, to the affordable housing, and we have to follow through on it. You know, I keep hearing time and time again about all these grand plans to end homelessness and all these grand plans to create affordable housing, and somehow it doesn't happen. You know, meanwhile, these developers, they have no horse in this game. You know, if there's any kind of operation that occurs there that involves medium family income. Right now, our medium family income here in Portland for one person is $48,000 per year. That's $4,000 a month, which is at a 40-hour work week, $25 per hour. I don't know anybody making $25 an hour. I just don't. It's not a reality. So we need to think about housing people who are making what we realistically do make, which is 35%, 40%. Some people make 20% of that number. So I think that a very key thing to talk about with affordable housing is what is affordable. Just there was another woman who made a very cogent point recently. She said, you know, match the housing with the incomes. I think that's so crucial, and we have to be very specific, because if we're not specific, these developers will walk right over us. You know, they're the reason why our rates are going up so quickly. You know, we're green lighting all of these massive projects, and, you know, I'm seeing, you know, old home after old home getting smashed and turning into a McMansion all over the place. And I think it's bringing in people from out of city, and it's not accommodating the people in the city. You are the advocates of the people who are here now. Please be our advocates and defend us, you know, from this onslaught of development, by at least making very specific requirements that the development that comes is going to not treat displacement like a casual word. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Johnson, you get the last word.
Thank you, Mayor. My name is Charles Johnson. The record. And I think both these remarks have just touched me. I visit the neuropsychiatry unit at OHSU on the 8th floor of their high rise. And I look out to the south at a vast sea of unaffordable housing and no green spaces, no parks, as the lady has pointed out, or minimal. And then my friend Hiram talks about MFI, medium family income. And Mr. Stahl was just up here, and he's worked with various nonprofits that take their clients and they code them into a computer where the clients get a barcode on a plastic card, not on their body. That's for HMIS, probably some federal contract, the Homeless Management Information System. Except the last three letters are a lie. It's just homelessness. There's no management, and there's no information, and there's no system. There might be information. But we have people, we don't ever have a clear, coherent discussion at the Coordinating Committee to End Homelessness or here about exactly how many people are never, ever going to have an income above $790 or whatever the latest Social Security adjustment is, and that we absolutely have to have an equal, exactly equal number of units for those people as people are that are getting Social Security checks. That information's out there, but we never seem to pair up that information. And then we have the issue of the working poor, as Hiram has raised, people who really don't have any rational connection through their pocketbook to median family income and poverty level. And every time we have these conversations, I realize we're primarily talking about urban renewal, but essentially we're using part of our urban renewal strategy is to find more affordable housing units. But we never talk specifically about the data of how many people are under there, and that if developers want to make any profit on real estate, they have to find a way to fill that need. If they can't fill that need, they can't have any assistance, and we need to have publicly owned and managed properties. I understand there are federal obstructions to getting new Northwest Towers and new Home Forward owned properties. Let them sue us if we try and house our homeless. We need to get 3,000 people off the street and in sanitary, safe housing. I'm also, obviously this is a vast issue that I can't fully address in the 3-minute remarks, but I was over in the CEIC, the Central East Side Industrial Corridor, or whatever it is, near St. Francis at 1131 Oak, where there's a big transition right there around 11th and 12th to the residences of the Buckman area, and things like Grand and MLK, where Reach and Join, well, particularly Reach, where I know one person who's being evicted, supposedly a managed case-managed service class thing. He'll either be couch surfing or sleeping on the street, so we need to improve the safety net and talk about real transitional, publicly managed shelters. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you all. Thanks very much. So we've had a long hearing. Commissioner Fish has soldiered on despite having a cold. What I would suggest we do is that we'll close the public hearing and continue this item for at least a week so that then we can bring Patrick and staff and Tracy and others up for council discussion when we're fresh, two well, and three have time to get into the details.
First of all, Mayor, thank you for diagnosing me with a cold. And I put in an absence for tomorrow because I'm at death's door. But if Dan calls in sick tomorrow, you've at least got me off the hook because he couldn't have gotten it from me.
All right. I'll blame you, no doubt.
Mayor, you what?
Feeling a little.
You're feeling a little peaky?
Something's coming down. Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry. I tried to sneeze this way, but we can ultimately blame my son who brought it home from school. Mayor, this has been an extraordinary hearing, and just in terms of managing things, I'm looking at the items that we have. I will not be here tomorrow, but in terms of 230, 229, and 228, I don't think anyone. I think those are issues at some point that I'm prepared to act on. I have some questions. I'm going to follow up with some questions to staff about 225. Because I'm unclear about at least the detail around whether there is in fact a housing component to the Clinton Triangle. I just want to look at the language, and I want to better understand that, and potentially a funding. And then there's three or four things that came up time and time again with respect to 226 and 227, and they're of course linked because as we sunset one, we create the other. And since you've agreed to continue this a week, which would give us a chance if we had amendments to bring them next week, I will reach out to Jillian and to PDC with those questions. I'll be back in the saddle hopefully on Monday.
Okay.
And we'll see if there's I'll have some questions and then we'll have some follow-up discussions. And I appreciate you continuing this. This would be continued until next Wednesday or next Thursday?
So we're just trying to figure out is where there's a little room in the calendar for council to deliberate here.
Okay. We think
think we'd like to avoid a conflict with the West Quadrant plan next week.
Yes, we would.
Which will be lengthy, and Patrick will also be out of town at the end of next week, so we suggest 2 weeks.
Okay.
So, can we do it on a Thursday afternoon or something?
What's that particular Thursday afternoon look like?
12th.
That's the 12th, but you have an evening budget hearing at 6:30. If
you want to meet during the day and then have a budget hearing? Or would you?
Fine.
Okay, so 2 p.m. on the 12th?
Budget hearing might be less contentious this year.
Might be. Okay.
And then,
so,
yeah, maybe we can do that in an hour.
Yeah. So we'll continue this. We'll close the public hearing, but we'll continue these items until the 12th. And in the meantime, obviously, council members can direct further questions to Patrick or to anyone else.
And can I just also clarify something?
Sure.
We do have a pretty big stack of testimony.
Yeah.
To the extent someone has presented an idea that's not reflected in the testimony, please don't be shy about just emailing the council offices with the specific proposal.
Absolutely.
We've all been making notes, and we have a big stack of paper. We have that opportunity, and I think, assuming I can come back to work on Monday, I would hope to have some meetings Monday, Tuesday.
Here, good. Any other questions or requests?
Well, I wanted to say, first of all, thank you to everybody, especially to those of you who stayed this entire time. We very much appreciate that, and those who waited till the very end for their turn to testify was very, very helpful. Some of the questions that I will want more information on are about the League of Women Voters suggestion about the U.S. Postal Service site with the $30 million for flipping and what happens to the $30 million after it's flipped. So that's a question for me. In fact, I have several questions on the River District and the pros and cons of just ending it now versus, or ending it in 2018 versus extending it, what really has to be done there. The Block 33 question raised by Margaret Bax with the OHSU $3 million is a question that I have. Kathy Orton's testimony on behalf of the Brooklyn Action Corps raised a question in my mind is, did we look at ending the Central East Side Industrial District, Central East Side? It's a good job we're putting this off because my mind has stopped working properly, but did we think about ending the Central East Side District and starting a new one for the Triangle and Brooklyn, and if so, why are we not doing that? I do want to make sure that the Sue Pierce's points from hand about the traffic and the Crescent Park money, what happened to that? And then I'll have several others, in particular the question of how do we move forward knowing that we don't yet have an agreement with Zidel? And so if you look at where the numbers are without Zidel, there isn't enough money to do everything that we need to do. There isn't even close to enough money to do everything that we need to do. And do we actually need to build bond? That was another question I have. Does the development agreement we have with OHSU require us to build bond? And if not, maybe we should not build bond unless and until, or tell OHSU that they could build it. So that's a question that I have, because that would free up some more money for other transportation improvements, including the South Portal, which I share Commissioner Novick's concern about how there should be a little bit of money in the tables that we've received for the South Portal, even if we're going to get most of it from the state or the federal government. It just doesn't feel like we're doing what we need to do right now. What we're deciding right now is whether to continue and extend this district and get more money to invest in it. And it seems like a good thing to do, except that it then takes money away from the other taxing jurisdictions. So we have to be really clear about what are the public benefits and how is this all going to fit together. And we're not going to have any more magic money flowing in for the next 20 years or so. So we need to be figuring out how are we going to provide the parks, and if not on Zidel, then where else could a park be that's going to need money for acquisition as well as development? How are we going to get the Greenway Trail finished, which we don't currently have that money in the parks budget, and how are we going to do the necessary transportation improvements, as well as how are we going to get at least to 270 units of very affordable housing and hopefully to 400? So those are I would like us to look at all of these things together rather than, okay, we'll fix this piece and then we'll figure the rest out. We at least have to have a framework for how are we going to move forward on all of these to make it work. I was part of setting this up, as Gretchen Kerfori mentioned, when I was on the Planning Commission. I feel a real responsibility to deliver on all of the promises and the hopes that we had back then. And yes, we spent $57 million on the tram, but that was then, as you said, Mayor, and now is now. And let's figure it out now as to what's the best use for the available money and how do we encourage development throughout the district that would then allow us to meet our goals.
Mayor, can I just make one other point?
Please.
You know, I used to have housing and parks, and I'm reminded in these discussions that it's much better to have those divided up among two commissioners, because I used to have this conversation with myself, housing, parks, and now at least we have two advocates fighting the good fight. But I just want to close with a Gretchen Cafori story, because she's here, and of course she needs to be embarrassed. So when I came to Oregon, didn't know anybody, I was introduced to her by Mike, and she promptly at some point asked me to serve on the Housing Authority of Portland Board. That's what it was called back then. And fast forward, Gretchen has a unique place in all of our lives up here. And I got a call about a week ago, and the phone went off, and it was the county chair. And I was saying, well, this is nice. The county chair is calling me. And she answered, hello, Deborah, and we exchanged pleasantries and sort of meandered around. And I said, well, so why did you call? And she goes, do you mind calling my mother? That was a high point for me, getting a call from a county chair directing me to call her mother. And
it was a good idea. All right. Any other questions, instructions, requests? Again, thank you all very much for a great hearing. So I'll continue those items to the 12th, and we're adjourned until next week. Thank you. All right, Amanda, we'll find another time because we're both tired.
So, yeah.
Oh,
so,
tomorrow, I hope.
Oh, okay.
Oh, are you? Oh.
Caught my eye, and I thought, you know,
it was amen to that.
Yeah, really. So I might be able to, if you have something at the end of the day, I could come after that.
Okay, I'll get Susan to check, try to figure
you.
It out. I'm around tomorrow.
Yes, good.
Thank you.
I think you feel worse than I do.